This is Steve Dale's Other World, and today, olé, we are going to Mexican restaurants, and this will be a fascinating conversation. The owner is in the room, the chef is in the room, the bartender. Fascinating for me, because some of my personally favorite restaurants, I will say. But my hope is interesting to all of you, because we are going to take you behind the scenes, as we do in these podcasts. We're also going to bust some myths. Here right now is Tony Estrada, the owner of, let me get this right, two Revolution Steakhouses, or one Revolution Steakhouse,
El Mariachi Restaurant.
El Mariachi Restaurants, and also an Italian restaurant.
Tutto Fresco Trattoria, correct.
Right. Alberto Mendez, the chef at Revolution Steakhouse. Diego Cruz, the most important man in the room right now, I will say. And that would be the bartender at Revolution Steakhouse. Thank you all very much for coming in. I think, Tony, I want to start with you. And to me, I've been to Mexico now so many times and love it. There are so many misconceptions, even today in 2015 or 16, that people have when it comes to Mexican food. Even now, two things. First of all, they want the Americanized thing. They want burritos and tacos. And I don't even know if these things come from Mexico.
Tacos do. Burritos, I think, is something that came from, like, Texas.
Yeah.
Things like that. I mean, they serve them nowadays. But, I mean, it's something that, you know, definitely is not it didn't come from Mexico, you know.
And Alberto, the chef, same thing, you think?
I completely agree. Not just reading, but just talking to chefs and my mentors from 10, 15 years ago. Mexican food is, and definitely it's not what we, like personally myself, I'm from Puebla, Mexico. And there's no such thing.
Where are you from?
From the state of Puebla in, obviously, Mexico.
But where is that for people that don't?
Southeast from Mexico City, about 4 hours away.
Okay. And Diego, where are you from?
I'm from Mexico City.
Mexico City,
people.
One of
the biggest cities around the world.
Of course. Yeah. People know that. And you, Tony?
Jalisco, Mexico.
Ah, Jalisco. Yeah. Yes, yes.
La tierra del tequila.
Yeah. The land of tequila, I understood.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. All right. So you were saying the same thing, though, that all right. So if I walk into where you grew up, a restaurant, and ask for a burrito,
they're going to look like you're crazy.
Yes.
They're going to have a surprise face. Like, what are you talking about?
But, Tony, if you have a restaurant that's a Mexican restaurant in Chicago and don't have burritos and tacos on the menu, then what do people here think?
But you're crazy. You need to have burritos in there.
Exactly.
So, definitely.
That's exactly right. And I think it's not only Mexican food, Chef. I also think that it's probably the same with Chinese food.
Absolutely.
We've
correct.
Americanized it. I mean, lots of, like, the chow mein dishes, I think, are completely American. I don't think there's anything like that in China. And we probably do that, Diego, with drinks, too, I suspect.
Yeah. Definitely. We're lucky that we have, you know, a lot of tequilas and mezcales, and we actually carry Mexican wines too. We cocktails that are spicy. A lot of people think that, you know, the heat is going to kill the.
Well, they think spicy. They think hot. So that's that's another thing. So I want to talk about the drinks in a second, but going back to the food, Alberto, people again. And they're not people that have been to Revolution Steakhouse. They're not people that have been to your El Mariachi restaurants or dozens of others. There's so many great Mexican restaurants in Chicago. But still, people, I think, and you tell me if I'm wrong, have this misconception that Mexican food is analogous with spicy food.
No, not at all.
And it's not been my experience in Mexico.
Right. Because you're at the right place, and obviously you're eating authentic but food or the cuisine is not made from chilies like it's based on the stories about, oh, I went to this place and it was so spicy. That's not true. I think that's just people who love to eat spicy. And let's say if the owner of certain place like their food to be spicy, it's going to be spicy. But if you go at a different location where the family who owns this place, they like chilies here and there, but not necessarily in certain dishes. It's just a custom that you go somewhere and you find a sign of chiles, everything is going to be spicy. And it's not true. We grew up, or at least most of us here, grew up with our parents gave us nopales, cactus. They gave us beans. They gave us rice. They gave us chiles too. But that was on the side. Like you had, if you wanted something spicy, then you do like chiles toreados, and which is like caramelized onions, and then some chiles, and a little bit crispy with some slightly lard. Lard is what's used in Mexico, not oils or anything like that, and it's better that way. It tastes better.
So I've got nothing against tacos and burritos and other dishes that we've Americanized. But we've got now, for example, in Chicago, an enormous Mexican population. And I'm telling you, if Donald Trump gets in, I'm moving to Mexico. But that's a whole other story.
Let's do it.
but I mean, really, we have a very large Mexican Hispanic population here, not only from Mexico but from other parts of the world as well. Mm-hmm. You meld that culture, mix it in with the American culture and all the other cultures we have here in Chicago. Are we seeing a revolution now? Maybe a change over time? Do you think? With Mexican food, where 20 years from now or even 10 years from now, it'll be different than what it is today, Alberto? Do you understand what I mean?
I don't know what this new kits are going to...
Because you've got you've got the American taste buds combining with traditional Mexican taste buds, and then you add in Puerto Rican, and you add in Dominican Republic, and all this stuff.
What I've noticed lately is that thank you to those cooking shows, there is a lot of people now that are understanding the cuisines. If we jump 15, 20 years ago when those food shows weren't as popular as today, everybody was lost, mm-hmm. I think. And today, there's a lot of people out there who are looking for spices that I haven't heard or seen in 15 years just because...
I saw it on TV.
The knowledge is out there on TV and stuff like that.
And they're like, I'm like, holy cow, this is interesting. I want this. I love you. You know,
another thing.
It makes you excited to hear that someone wants to see where Hoja Santa is sold, where Canela Mexicana, which is different than cinnamon. Cinnamon. Mexican cinnamon is different than American cinnamon. Canela.
And how does it taste different? I'll have to come in and try that.
It's just lighter. It's unique. It's like tasting Mexican chocolate against a chocolate candy that you find at the store.
Yeah, and Mexican vanilla is actually different. And people don't know. You know, I love Mexican vanilla. So I want to talk about each of you a little bit. Tony?
I mentioned too, something that I just remember me and my old man were talking back when we opened 20 years ago. In the beginning... a lot of customers wouldn't adapt to spicy food. And I remember my father telling everybody, you know what, give me a couple months and you're gonna like spicy food from this point forward, you know.
So
a couple months after, you know, customers were, he started off light, you know, on the spices, and he gradually started introducing new sauces that were a little spicier and a little...
Is spicy the right word, though,
to 4 years later after he opened, customers were challenging us.
Really?
You have something spicier. So you kind of have to adapt to the neighborhood, adapt to, you know, what, you know, the customers you have, and little by little introduce them to different flavors, different spices, and then, you know, their palate adapts to it as well.
So, well, you have the microphone. Your dad was in the restaurant business originally?
Yeah. We opened 20 years ago down at the Small Mariachi at 3420 North Broadway.
Which is still there?
It's still there, yeah.
It's 20 years?
20 years, yeah. Wow. I was a little helper.
So we're talking about Lakeview. In that area.
Correct.
And then you opened another mariachi and they have the Revolution Steakhouse and also the Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. Is that something you wanted to do, kind of go into the family business?
Yeah, I mean, we grew up in it and we've been doing it for so long. It's something that, you know, it's our passion. We love it, you know.
So what is it about the restaurant? You're not alone here, as you well know. I think half of the people in the restaurant industry in one way or the other grew up in the restaurant industry.
Correct.
Mexican restaurant, Greek restaurant, Chinese restaurant, Italian, it doesn't much matter, you know.
Right.
It's kind of in the family sometimes, you know. What is it about this industry, which is tough? I mean, you're always working. Yeah. You have to please people, which Lord knows isn't easy. You know, I mean, really, it's and deal with all the employee issues and everything. I mean, and deal with being a small business in Chicago. with the economic ups and downs that have happened over 20 years, I mean, it's not an easy business.
No, definitely not. I mean, you just, you know, you have to definitely, you know, train your staff, you know, to do things right. You know, thank God we have a great team, you know, behind us, you know, the management team. A lot of the staff has been working with us for 20 years as well, 15 years, 10 years, you know. So it's, you know, getting them to understand what you're trying to do, and gradually they become part of the family and you work together as a team, you know.
The secret, you tell me if this isn't something you've done on purpose or not. I mean, to me, the secret of certain types of restaurants, I'm not talking about the five-star Michelin restaurant. I'm talking about a neighborhood restaurant, mm-hmm. a good one, though, mm-hmm. a good one. The secret is being a part of the neighborhood, which sounds so simple. And knowing people by name, mm-hmm. Understanding if Susie comes in that she likes this or doesn't like this, and instantly responding before she even has to say anything, asking people about their kids, even if they don't have their kids with them.
Right, correct.
I mean, is that a part of it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have to make the customers feel at home when they come in, you know, and you do that by teaching your staff, you know, you treat them as family and they do the same with the guests, you know. And I think that's something that definitely has helped us, you know, accomplish our goals and be able to open multiple locations.
Yeah, I think so too. What point is it too many locations for a restaurateur?
I think four is good for a while until we get everything 100%, and then we'll might do something in Andersonville eventually.
Really? Okay. He's giving us a little hint here. Alberto, how about your background?
Oh, goodness. It goes back to when I was 15 years old. Actually, since I was a kid, I had a mother who was very religious. As you know, every Mexican, it's very religious. They have to go every Sunday, every day to church and things like that. So I was always left out at home with a note that said, heat it up. And that's your meal. And
I think that's not only specific to Mexico. I think that's true everywhere.
Yeah. Well, back then, I think cooking was always in it's in most Mexicans, I believe. When your mother tells you, I'm busy or we have to go somewhere. My mom did this. She just set up a bowl of either mole or...
Mole. I love mole.
Squash blossom soup and fresh beans from the actual plants. Back at home, you don't go to the grocery store.
You went to your backyard?
You just went to your yard. And
wow.
There is just
organic.
Fields. Yeah, everything was organic. Fields of squash, beans, fresh corn, other plants that are edible. Like they look like spinach, but it's called quelite, and it's very rare to find this. Actually, all these things are blooming now in the markets. You're able to see all these herbs and vegetables that you weren't able to see 15, 20 years ago, like you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom always did this, and fine. Then for part of her income was to cook for weddings. She was known for her mole in 1982 and 1983. She won a couple awards in the state of Puebla, in the city. In a competition of who had the best mole poblano. My mother happened to win those two awards those years. And I help her to peel pumpkin seeds, the peppers.
Now, what I've learned,
it's work.
I want to talk about mole a bit. I've learned that it is a lot of work. It's a zillion ingredients, and there are different kinds of mole. So there's
each family
typical,
has their own.
Right. There's the typical black mole that we see in restaurants in Chicago, but there's also others here too.
Green mole, white mole, mole blanco, mole verde, mole amarillo.
All those things. That's
mole oaxaqueño. I mean,
whatever you just said. Yes, yeah. All those things and more. So you've got, and then there's the variations within families. So
right.
You take a red mole, and one family makes a different. Diego's family may do it one way,
absolutely.
But Tony's family may do it another.
Exactly.
You know.
Yes.
And that's a science unto itself. But it's not, again, this is the Americanization of things, you know.
Right.
It's the people only think the brown mole sauce that you typically see, and I understand. Did you go to chef school or?
I did not. I actually work for a company in New York City, and they just sent me to a 4-month course just to get a certificate, because at the time I needed to do a benefit with this company. And they didn't accept me unless I brought in like a certificate, or they needed something.
Mm-hmm.
So the company pay for it. But pretty much since back at home, I learned how to cook myself. Coming to the States, my first job was at a restaurant. My older brother was there. And I needed some sort of income, too. And I started to work at a restaurant, started off from the bottom up, washing dishes, and then to prep, then to get on the line, which is once you're on the line, then you're kind of, it's up to you if you want to become something or not. I love the place.
This was in New York City?
This was in New York City. I love the place. I love all these spices and items I never saw in my life. I
mean, yeah.
I mean, New York City. New York has everything from around the world. So I saw so many stuff. So all the people, all the chefs, the French chefs, Italian chefs, and I saw their techniques, and I loved it. And I want to be a chef.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's a short, long story, and that's now I'm here.
Well, great, it's a wonderful story. Yeah, it's a wonderful story though, because it shows you can succeed with that talent, Diego. I've known you actually for a very long time. Yeah, so tell me your story.
My story. I grew up in Mexico City, and my dad is from Oaxaca. And my grandma, she was in the Mexican Revolution when she was a kid.
Wow.
So I always tell this to a lot of her customers. She grew up drinking mezcal and smoking cigarettes. When, you know, that's how they were raised in the mountains when the Mexican Revolution. And then when she was visiting, you know, like years later when we were kids and she was visiting in our house, she would bring a barrel of mezcal. And it was like a clay bottle.
And explain what mezcal is for people.
Mezcal is a spirit from the agave plant. Unlike tequila, is a smoky because of the cooking process of the plant. With tequila, they bake the plant, and with mezcal, they roast the plant. They dig a hole in the ground, and then they cover the hole with the leaves of the agave. Then they burn it, and they cover the hole. It's usually around 2 days, and then you know they dig the plant, and then they start cooking it. So that's why it gets really smoky, and it's very complex, and that's the reason why I love it. I drink mezcal when I was a kid. I drank mezcal when I was a kid, and
I'm not sure that's legal.
No, but it was funny. It was cute because my grandma, like, she thought it was okay because she never saw it wrong because she grew up that way, you know, like her whole
so
life.
So from drinking mezcal, you said I need to be a professional drink master?
Right?
Yeah, exactly. I actually started as a server at Mariachi. And then when I knew about Revolución, so I was like, well, I want to learn more, and I like learning stuff. And then I started working at Revolución. And then that's there where they gave me the opportunity to be a bartender. And then, you know, I started training, and I started learning about spirits, not only tequila and mezcal, but, you know, like wines and stuff.
And we're going to get recipes for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I want to know what the ultimate margarita is.
Oh, yeah.
And Alberto, I want a recipe from you, too, before we go. Tony, absolutely. This must make you really proud to see Diego here, and I know
definitely,
other employees that have kind of worked their way up and that are, like, going to be there as long as the restaurant's there.
Yeah,
there
definitely. We all started from the bottom, you know, as well as myself. You know, I started, you know, bussing tables, and I actually just had a customer that came in, Revolution Steakhouse, on the weekend, and they're, like, telling all the servers and everybody around, Tony used to be my little server back in the day, you know. I'm talking about back when I was 12, 13 years old, you know.
The people are now 98 years old.
Come on, I'm not that old. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, everybody starts from the bottom, and, you know, we all got an opportunity, and I like to give everybody that's very talented an opportunity to grow with us, you know.
Yeah, that's – so when you open Revolution Steakhouse, how did you say, okay, there's a niche in Chicago. Chicago has a couple of restaurants,
right?
You know. And a couple of Mexican restaurants, mm-hmm. right? Maybe 1,000. I mean, really. I mean,
yeah.
From the taco stand to the Frontera Grill. I mean, one extent to the other. I know people who actually fly to Chicago. They actually want to stop at O'Hare. They're not staying in Chicago. They're going to New York or somewhere. And instead of a direct flight, they stop at O'Hare Airport so they can eat at Frontera Grill. They specifically, more than one person has told me that. You know, so you get from the very fancy restaurant, Mexican restaurant like that, and look what Rick Bayless has done, you know, right?
Yeah,
changing
right. Yeah, definitely.
The images that we're talking about earlier mm-hmm. to the taco stand. So where did you find and how did you think, okay, this is the niche? So mariachi, I would describe both locations as nice neighborhood restaurants.
Correct.
And typically what people would think of Mexican restaurants with a wide variety of quality on the menu.
Correct.
And nice tequila. And lots of it, where Revolution Steakhouse is something a little different.
Yeah, we wanted to, you know, obviously Revolution Steakhouse wanted to do a little bit more of a sit-down, fine dining, you know, presentation to all the dishes. So we decided to elevate, you know, the presentation of most of the dishes as well as the, you know, the cocktails to go with the concept, you know. So we definitely worked hard to give it that nice, presentation to all dishes. And a good example is, you know, you have all your proteins that you'll find in any steakhouse, you know. That's an issue that we had when we first started, you know. Everybody thinks Mexican food should be cheap, you know. And, you know, it's a Mexican steakhouse, so we're trying to do something different. This is the first.
So do people sometimes walk in the door, and it's not an expensive restaurant either.
No, not really.
And neither the other restaurants aren't.
No.
You know, but do people walk in the door and expect a dish to be like $4.99 or something?
Right.
You get that?
I mean, it depends. I mean, we have a nice extensive
menu.
So
he's saying yes, we get it.
It depends what you want to order, you know. We have a nice extensive menu. You have anything from traditional Mexican dishes, dishes that are inexpensive, like the carne en su jugo or the cecina. To you know
what the who?
Sorry,
the what? What did he say?
Yeah, carne su jugo and cecina, they're traditional
meat something.
Yeah, carne su jugo, it's a traditional dish in Jalisco. It's like thinly sliced steak marinated in its own juices, with you do like a green salsa verde broth in it, and you cook it slow cook it for a couple hours, you know, we do a nice presentation to that. We serve it over a sope, a large sope,
uh-huh.
You know, with radishes, avocado, a little bit of lime, cilantro, and then with a bed of beans in the bottom. So, I mean, there's different choices. If you want to, you want something expensive, we have, you know, filet de revolucion. Sorry. Filet de revolucion. You could get a ribeye. You could get, pretty much any
steak
that you want. You know, or if you want something inexpensive, we also have fajitas, you know. We have, like I mentioned, the carne en su jugo, the cecina.
And you have the only restaurant in Chicago, I think, with a waterfall.
Yeah.
Inside. Yeah. Talk about that.
Yeah, we wanted to do something different, you know. So, you know, like I said, to make the name of the place is Revolution Steakhouse. We want to kind of make it modern, at the same time rustic. So we have, like, the dripped walls, you know, exposed brick, you know, we wanted to do also.
Yeah, but water actually runs, right. And it's not because you have a leaky roof. Yeah. I mean, water actually runs like a waterfall of sorts, but it's beautiful.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Then you look up, and you should have a deal with, like, catering for the Shedd Aquarium, or not the Adler Planetarium,
okay.
Because you look up and there's stars in the sky.
We wanted to kind of make that al fresco feeling when you're inside the restaurant in the winter. In the summer, we have the extensive patio up front, but in the wintertime, you know, what we did, we kind of made it look like in the daytime, it's just like a bright blue sky. And then at night, you know, turn on some black lights and you get all the, we use the special paint where you can see different moons in every area. And
it's a hacienda without the roof.
Yeah, there you go. Hacienda without the roof.
Is it a real consolation, do you know? Or is that just an artist who said, I'm going
to
put...
Yeah, my father just wanted to do a different moon in every area of the roof. So he kind of did that to make it look a little extensive.
You have to come in and see it.
Yeah, I just put it up on our Facebook page now that you mention it.
Did you really?
Yeah, I just put the stars and the moon and stuff like that. Just posted it up. I thought it was a nice picture, so I just put it up. If you want to check it out, you can check it out on our Facebook
page. Oh, it is
page.
The coolest looking restaurant,
pretty
too,
awesome, yeah.
As well as the... But does that matter? Does the vibe actually matter of the restaurant? So when you walk into a restaurant, no matter what restaurant it is, you do get a certain feel for what it is. Does that matter to you when you say, okay, I'm going to open a restaurant, I want this vibe, and does it always match what you think it is going to be?
Yeah, for the most part, I mean... At this location, like I said, we wanted to kind of, as far as the vibe, you mean like...
The feel of the restaurant. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we try to have the same vibe at all locations, you know, where it's festive, it's fun, it's exciting, you know, and just, you know, by seeing customers leave every time and say, thank you, I can't wait to come back, you know, it gives us a, you know, it lets us know that we've been successful in what we do, you know.
Well, I want to talk about tequila a little bit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I'll start very basically. What is tequila? You kind of mentioned it quickly.
Uh-huh. Tequila is a spirit from the agave, blue Weber agave.
Agave is a plant.
Agave is a plant, yeah.
And it's only in one area
where
Tony happened to live, apparently.
Yeah. Jalisco, and the town is actually called Tequila.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's one of the only few places in the world that a spirit is named for where it comes, right?
Yeah.
Champagne would be another. I'm not sure. And we're not talking Champagne, Illinois. and I'm not sure. There's another one, I think, too.
Cognacs also.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Brandies and tequila. Those are
spirits. But tequila isn't what necessarily, in my opinion, people think. To me, it can be a very fine. So people talk about taking shots, right?
Yeah, and
it disappoints me.
Yeah, me too. I think that any spirit is just meant to enjoy. You know, same with a cocktail or.
So the Blanco, there's three kinds. The Blanco, the white. Maybe take a shot or put in a margarita. In my opinion, but
even Blancos are different. You know, like they
some of them are excellent.
They have different profiles. And then you have the Reposado, and then you have the Añejos.
Which
and
is defined on the age of the tequila?
Exactly, just the aging process of the tequilas. We most of our tequilas are, we have silver, reposado, and añejo. We have a few extra añejos, too.
Mm.
Definitely, you know, really good quality. All of our tequilas are 100% blue agave.
So is there, let's say,
yeah.
Tony, you're not going to hear this. Let's say you go to another Mexican restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And that never happens, of course. And you taste the tequila and you say, we would never serve that at our restaurant because this is awful.
Mm-hmm. You can say that. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I've seen that myself.
So. Yeah. Sometimes you go out with friends, family, and they're like, oh, you know, they want to buy you a shot for, you know, your birthday.
Sure.
Just it's a Friday night or something like that. And then, oh, you know, I got this for you. Oh, yeah, what is it? And then they tell you, oh, you know, this is whatever tequila. And I'm like, no. I mean, you drink it because, you know, they got it for you. And it's a nice gesture. but I'm
but
like.
The hangover the next day is not great, right?
Yeah, no, I really enjoy, like, really nice tequilas. You know, I don't mind, like, paying extra for a nice tequila.
So I would argue if you sip on a nice añejo or a reposado, a good one.
Definitely.
You're not going to get a hangover the next day. Now, if you take a shot of a bad one, different story.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Especially like gold tequila or mixto tequila, which is just, you know, it's basically
sugar.
Sugar, yeah. Corn syrup and, you know, like cheap tequila.
So there is it, so for someone who walks into, I could say the Binnie's tomorrow, is there a way to choose? Don't give me any names necessarily, but do you get what you pay for in general?
In general, yeah, because some tequilas are small batches, you know, so it takes longer to produce a tequila, so it's going to be more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But some tequilas are like, you know, they do mass production, so that, you know, you're going to get that.
And you know you're in trouble when you pick up the tequila bottle and it says made in China?
Oh, yeah.
That's not a good thing?
Yeah, that's not a good thing. I think at one point.
I hope I don't see that.
At one point, I think Japan was making tequila.
Really?
Yeah, like.
I just made that
years
up.
Ago.
Wow.
I'm talking about years ago, but, you know, obviously it's a Mexican legal product, so.
It's got to be the biggest import of Mexico.
Actually, mezcal is growing now.
Really?
Yeah, it's considered now like the new scotch.
And now there's all these, you know, fancy tequilas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the pink tequila, the tequila with no calories, the tequila with...
you don't want calories, don't drink.
The coffee-flavored tequila.
Coffee-flavored,
you know, all these... But that's a good thing, I think.
It is. And we like infusing our own tequilas, you know, like we can put fresh fruit. We can put spices, we can put peppers, and, you know, you can make your own cocktails, and you just go from there.
So speaking of which, the moment people have been waiting for, do you have the recipe? And I'll get to your recipe, Alberto, in a moment. But yes, I know, it's the drum roll for our recipe for margarita. Our producer is taking notes already.
Yeah.
Nice.
one of the cocktails that we sell a lot is a cucumber jalapeno margarita. And it is refreshing. It is a little spicy, but not overwhelming.
Okay, so how do you do this at home?
Yeah, basically, you use fresh lime, you know, an ounce of fresh lime juice.
Fresh lime juice. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you take that first.
You put it in a shaker, and then you're going to grab agave nectar. You can get it anywhere.
Agave nectar?
Yeah.
Okay, you can go to where to get that?
You can get it at Jewel. You can get it at Whole Foods.
Anywhere.
Even Walgreens, yeah.
Really? Walgreens?
Yeah. Yeah.
With your batteries, get agave nectar.
Yeah.
It's a sweetener.
It's growing. Yeah.
It's a prescription, natural, I'm sure.
Yeah, you can use it for your teas, too.
Your tea?
Coffee, anything.
Okay.
Desserts, baking.
It's a sweetener.
Okay, yeah. So let's go.
It's like honey.
All right.
Much. Yeah.
I'm sure it is.
So you have your ounce of lime juice and then an ounce of agave nectar.
Uh-huh.
And then you use an ounce of fresh pineapple juice, and then fresh cucumber puree, an ounce of each. So yeah, you have lime juice, agave nectar, pineapple juice, and then cucumber puree. So,
okay. And we'll write this all out so people will be able to get this. And then what do? You shake it?
Then you're going to add an ounce of Grand Marnier.
Oh, we forgot the tequila and the Grand. Okay,
The Grand Marnier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you're going to add, an ounce and a half of Tanteo Jalapeño infused tequila. And then you shake it really
well. Where do you get that tequila from, what you just said?
Yeah, Tanteo is a brand that they naturally infuse their tequilas with. In this case, we have the Tropical, which is infused with pineapple. We have the coconut, which is infused with coconut, and the jalapeno one.
So you want the jalapeno one for this drink?
For this drink, we use the Tanteo jalapeno.
And where can people get that, wherever tequila
is? It's also a popular tequila, so you can get it pretty much anywhere.
Right, I've seen it, the brand. Okay, and then what do you do with it?
And then you just shake it and strain it into your preferred, some people like pine glasses, some people like margarita glasses.
Does it matter, by the way?
Not really, but, if it's a margarita, you might want to use a margarita glass.
And do you need the salt, really?
What people like, some people ask for tajin, which is it's like a powder, chili powder mixed with salt and pepper.
For
and
this particular tequila?
Yeah.
I mean, a drink.
So you put it on your rim, and it's just like an extra, like a plus on your margarita.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's a very simple way to make a really nice margarita. Mm-hmm. It's very refreshing, it's not too spicy.
Okay.
You can always spice it up. You can always have
It sounds fine the way it is. Alberto, you have a recipe for us.
Yes. One of our signature dishes is called Filete Revolucion. So at the restaurant is
the Revolution Filet.
Okay, exactly. Right. So we need to obviously make a shopping list. First of all, obviously, you need to see what the weather is like because it's perfect to grill outside. You're going to start with, on the list, with a 10-ounce filet or a 6-ounce filet, a cactus pad or a cactus leaf is what it's called also.
Where do you get that?
All of this, your local...
I mean, you can fly to Phoenix,
I guess. Local grocery store. No, in today's day, the Mexican export is really strong. So.
A cactus leaf?
Cactus leaf, cactus pad. You can find them anywhere, actually, now. Any little store has it. Mm-hmm. I promise. That you need about 5-6 chilies. Well, let's do the recipe for 4 people. So you need 4 fillets, 4 cactus leaves, 6 chilies. They're going to be pasilla chilies.
What kind?
Pasilla, PASILLA.
Okay.
You're going to need about 2 garlic cloves, 1/4 of an onion, about 1 cup of chicken stock, and about 12 asparagus, and four sprigs of parsley, and about 3 ounce slices of panela cheese.
Okay, what do you do with all this stuff?
All right, now you're going to start with, first of all, you're going to start to peel your cactus leaves. You're going to take, they have thorns outside, you peel those off. And then you're going to put this aside. You're going to take the chilies.
And if you don't take off the thorns, you'll never eat it again or anything else?
Well, you'll regret it when you go to the bathroom.
That's so good.
Sure you will.
That's a good one. They just will pinch your fingers. Then
not the fingers I'm thinking of, as Diego points out, but we digress. Continue.
You're going to take the seeds out of the chiles and you're going to soak them in warm water for about 20 minutes to half an hour. Then you're going to peel your onion and you're going to take 1/4 of that and you're going to cut it in little dices. Then what you're going to do in a blender, you're going to put the soaked chilies, the onion, the garlic. You're going to blend that. And then in a saute pan, you're going to warm up about 3 to 4 tablespoons of olive oil. And you're going to fry the sauce for about 30 seconds, and then you're going to put it on simmer for probably 20, 15 minutes. And you're going to add a little chicken stock as it's going to get thick. You want it slightly loose. So you're going to see how gradually you're going to need stock. So you're going to add some chicken stock in it. Then you're going to set that aside. You're going to fire up the grill. You're going to grill your cactus pads. And the way to know when they're cooked is when they're slightly soft. Normally, they're kind of firm. Mm-hmm. And once they turn soft, obviously, that's cooked. You set that aside, you grill your asparagus, you set them aside, and right before eating, or right before sitting down, you're going to put your steaks on the grill, and you're going to cook them however you like them, rare, medium, rare.
Sure.
And the panela cheese can go straight to the grill as well at the very end before serving your meat.
What kind of cheese?
It's called panela.
Right, okay, which you said earlier.
It's a cheese that you can also fry. So it's the curd is really, it's firm, so it's not going to melt like American cheese or like sure. Monster cheese. This cheese is going to hold the heat and it's going to get that nice char. It's delicious. So you're going to set up your plate by putting the sauce on the bottom. Then your sauce on your plate, the cactus pad, the cheese, and then the filet. And then on top, you're going to put your spring of parsley, and you're going to decorate them with probably 2 or 3 asparagus on top.
Fancy presentation, too. So what you guys will do is you'll write it all down for me,
correct.
And I'll put it up on my blog post so people can kind of follow along as well. I don't know about you, Tony, but listening to all this, I gained 20 pounds just listening to all of this.
No, actually, take back the filet. That's going to – you're not eating calories or fat here. You're eating
protein,
and you're eating healthy.
Yeah, well, I'm not complaining, I'll tell you that. And the margarita also has no calories in
not
it.
Not at all. No, you're using agave nectar.
Yeah. Yes, of course, yeah. Right.
And if you know, you can always pair that dish with one of our Mexican wines. Nebbiolo is a reserve. It's a Mexican wine from Baja California. So there you go. You're eating healthy.
Which not much people knows that Mexico also produces wines.
Yes.
You're right. Yes. And it's like anything else, you know, the wines vary. And it isn't, in my opinion, I'm no wine expert, but it's not, you know, it's not Italy or Spain. Right. I love Spanish wines. And it's not France, you know, it's not California. But for what it is, it's interesting, first of all, because it's different. It actually does taste different. The region really does matter.
Uh-huh.
And I like Mexican wines, you know. So, and it's like anything. It's a matter of choosing what you like, you know,
right. Yeah.
Choosing the right one for you. Mm-hmm. Guys, it's been great having you. For those who don't know, Revolution Steakhouse is where?
It is at 3443 North Broadway, right by Broadway and Edison, not too far from Wrigley Field.
And El Mariachi's, they're
El
both.
Mariachi. We have El Mariachi at 3420 North Broadway. We also have another one, El Mariachi Tequila Bar and Grill at 3906 North Broadway. And then we also have Tutto Fresco Trattoria, which is at 3829 North Broadway.
Yeah, find these guys' Facebook pages. Uh-huh. That might be the best way to do it. I thank you all
thank
very,
you,
very
thank
much.
You.
I appreciate
thank you.
It.
Thank you.
And we'll put up those recipes, chicagonow.com/Steve Dale, which is my blog. Michael, my producer, and I, we're going out to eat. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Salute.
Thank you very much. Salute.
Thank you.